Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is August 11, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, our email address is over there also, so you can send a prayer request like some people do by email, and they even include their address, and then we print it out, take it to the mission church, anoint it with oil, and we pray over it in a prayer circle. So please consider that option, and we will mail it back to you by physical mail after we anoint it with oil, so you have it. We won't use that address for any other type of solicitation. In fact, we'll lose the address just as soon as we send it back. We do not solicit people for things. Well, I take that back. I ask for donations on this radio program, but we don't send anything out that isn't pre-requested. Okay. Remember, we are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free. It does cost. And while, yes, this goes to a podcast later, and by the way, podcast does cost, but we are a radio program. So pray about supporting airtime. And that's not the – while podcasts are okay, of course, we've been doing podcasts, as they call them, since 2001, I think, and with this program – particular about 2004. But remember, pray about supporting airtime. Okay, on another note, let's move on. I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Sweden, Dublin, Ireland, Johannesburg, South Africa, Soweto, South Africa, Guyana, Paris, France, Valencia, Spain, Amsterdam, the Netherlands, of course, Israel, and places in the good old USA like St. Louis, Missouri, Detroit, Michigan, Dallas, Texas, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Stockholm, California, Buffalo, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Newark, New Jersey, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, when they go to podcast later on tonight. So pray about it, and thanks for listening. Anyway, share this program with at least two or three other people. Now, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor our guest wills. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear your truth. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. Yeah, you all know him. He's been on lots of times. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host, heard nationally and internationally, TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of PNN, or that's P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl is quite a book writer. He wrote books like The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaderi and His Prophecies of the End Time, Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble. His latest book, if I have this right, which I do believe I do, is When the Liar Roars. No, I haven't read it, and I don't think it's even out to print yet until October. We'll talk to him about it. And tonight, though, we're going to ask him a valid question. How would you feel if you allowed Hillary Clinton to win? Anyway, let's welcome back Pastor Carl Gallup.
Brother Dan, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for your gracious introduction. And yes, I am blessed to be on your show a lot. I do get a lot of invitations from you guys, and I am absolutely honored and thrilled every time we get this invitation. So it's good to be here with you and your great audience tonight. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, amen. I love having you on, Carl. You know, you give a pastoral Christian view on things that are important right now, and so I really do try to have you on at least once a month. Just like this question that I seen a link to, I guess you were on Jim Baker's show, and you were talking about, you know, allowing Hillary to win. But did I have that right first before you go into that? When the Lion Roars, that's the name of the new book, right?
Yes, sir, that's the name of the new book, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Times. In other words, the premise of the book is we're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus himself. And I take what's happening in the news, I mean, right up to today's headlines. I even, when I turned my manuscript in almost, you know, 4, 5, or 6 months ago, mm-hmm. for it to begin to be edited, et cetera, I was predicting that certain things would happen. Not claiming to be a prophet or anything, just seeing the handwriting on the wall. And since the book has been given to my publishers, and just before it's coming out, the things that I predicted are now in the headline news. So it's moving that quickly, brother.
Wow.
And the title comes from Amos 3, verse 6, 7, and 8, where it says, when the lion roars, who can help but prophesy? You know, when the trumpet blows, has not God done this? Has not he sound the alarm? You know, when the lion roars,
right.
Who can help but prophesy? And I'm saying, look, the lion is roaring in the jungle. The natives better listen. And the roaring's getting closer and closer to the village, Brother Dan.
Yeah, amen. I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, yeah, I remember way back, I started doing a prophecy newsletter back in the 90s, and then I, after, you know, didn't start radio until like 2001, but I remember I used to go and try to search out headlines that would line up with Bible prophecy, and it was really quite an effort, and now it's not like I have to look for an article to decide, well, which one do I use, because it seems like all the headlines are almost there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with this book, the last several chapters are very positive and encouraging to Christians and to the church. And, you know, how do we live in these prophetic times? Why are we here? What do we do? How do we get engaged? How do we, you know, live a life of faith and positive, positiveness? And so the book is not doom and gloom. I don't set dates. I don't demand a certain eschatological scheme. I just take what we know has happened since Israel returned. I start there, or at least that's the premise of the book. That's not my first chapter, but I start from when Israel returned to the land, and I show the escalation of prophetic fulfillments right up to our time. And listen, brother, this last year or two, it's been pouring in like a flood, Brother Dan. I'm talking about the Middle East has erupted. Russia arrived in the Middle East. China arrived in the Middle East. Iran and Russia are in concord with each other. Turkey is becoming the new Ottoman Empire, Islamic Caliphate. The Euphrates River is rippling with rumors of wars and terrorism and strongholds. The refugee crisis is tearing down the borders of world superpowers. Israel is surrounded by enemies. I mean, I could go on and on and on. World dignitaries are saying we're on the edge of World War III. Some of them, like the Pope and others, are saying we're already in World War III. The war has already started. I mean, it's just day after day after day, the prophetic fulfillments are astounding. And then we get into the technological advancements and fulfillments. Now they're talking about living forever, and they're talking about transhumanism and human-animal hybrids and robot societies and robot virtual reality, robot sex, and robot porn. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's all just flooding in on top of us just in the last couple of years. And that just scratches the surface. And I cover all of this in my book, plus so much more.
Yeah, amen. I clicked over to the official website, which, by the way, folks, if you go to collargallops.com, there is an official website that you can click on over there, a link, and it'll take you to the book. Well, Carl, I'm just looking at some of the topics, and it's absolutely great to see somebody addressing it because, it just seems like there's so much going on that you and I both feel, and I know many others do, but there's just not everybody really saying it mainstream because that are going on right now. And it just seems like, well, hey, I want to grab some of these people and shake them and say, wake up. Can't you open your eyes and see? Why do you keep talking about 20 years in the future when it's going on right now? Back
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, no, you're right, absolutely. I mean, it's happening now, and that's what this book, I'm saying, the lion is roaring, folks. we're not talking about hearing him way off in the distance on top of a mountain somewhere. We're talking about he's in the jungle coming towards the village. The lion is roaring. Who can help but prophesy? Joseph Farah, who is the president and CEO of WND Books and WND.com, he wrote the foreword to this book. He read it, fell in love with it. He asked if he could write the foreword to it. I was so honored. The president of the company believes in the book that much. Pat Boone has read the book. He has endorsed it strongly. Jim Baker, Joel Richardson, the New York Times bestseller of the Islamic Antichrist, he's endorsed it, and on and on. And more endorsements are coming in continually. It's pretty amazing, Pastor Dan, what's happening in the world around us. And what I try to do is just chronicle this in an easy to read fashion for the church and for Christians, you don't have to believe in a pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, nothing. That it just says, look, here's what the Bible says. Here's what's happening in the world around us. The lion is roaring. We're living in profoundly prophetic times, and it's time for the church to wake up.
Yeah, amen, amen. Which it's going to bring around to a question, but first I've got to ask the date. When will this be publicly ready for the book?
Yeah, I think it's a pre-order now on Amazon, but it will be officially released October 25th, which, believe it or not, it's not that far away. I mean, it's coming around quickly. That's the official release date. I know when you order it on Amazon, not only do you seal the best price, whatever you ordered, it always ships at the lowest price that it's ever been. But also, they usually send them out a few days before the official release date as well. So I like that about Amazon, too. But October 25th is the official release date.
Yeah, amen. Well, you say time, that won't be very long. I mean, time with me, I guess maybe it's my age or whatever. I just blink my eyes and a year's gone by. Whereas I remember when I was younger, it seemed like it took forever for even a couple of months to go by or whatever. A year was just like incredible. Now I blink my eyes and all years went by.
Yeah, and you know what, brother? I'm going to say this. Used to be when we heard people talking like that, they were always older people. You and I were young, and it's the old folks sitting around. Boy, time sure is flying, and that was old people talk.
Yeah.
But you know what, brother? My wife and I, of course, I'm the pastor of a church, been the pastor there 30 years. We're very engaged with the young people of our church, 30-year-olds in our church. I mean, I held them the day they were born, and so we're growing up with these people and vice versa. And we're intimately connected to the students and the young people, the children of our church. And I'm going to tell you, brother, it's not just old people anymore. I mean, our students are saying it. Our teenagers are saying it. Where is time going? Time is flying. It's flying by. They just can't believe it. And I think there's something very prophetic going on with that, too, Pastor Dan.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I've been thinking about that myself, is something going on with the time, and how would we notice it? But that's definitely something to check into.
Yeah.
So the book, folks, is The Lion Roars. You can pre-order it now, and which would be really good. But, Carl, let me ask you this. You know, with the times coming as they are, do you think that America even has a chance? I mean, would things not just continually to get worse here? Would we have a chance, or are we going to be stuck with Hillary? What do you think? What's your comment?
Brother, let me just say, if Hillary goes in, I think we're done. I mean, short of God just intervening in some huge way, and he can do that. I mean, listen, bottom line is nothing's over till God says it's over, but we know that the Scripture says that it's all winding down. And that doesn't mean we live around, we sit around in defeatism. It doesn't mean we sit around wringing our hands and, you know, just giving up. Well, it's coming to an end anyway. What do we do? No. We don't know the dates or the times. We got to stay engaged. We don't know how God is going to use America. We know he can use. He's used America. He's blessed America for a couple of hundred years. The last 50 or 60 years has been amazing. You know, could he give us some breathing room? Could he give us a reprieve? And, you know, through the political system and the repentance of his people. And listen, folks, don't panic when I say through the political system. People say, well, God doesn't work in politics. Yes, he does. Read the Scriptures. He works through kings and kingdoms and people. He also works through the temple, if you will, in the Old Testament, through the priest and through the worship of the people, and whether they're repenting or whether they're running up to the hills worshiping pagan gods. God works in all of that, and he answers accordingly and works through the prayers of his people. What do you think 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 was about? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves in prayer, et cetera, et cetera, I will heal their land. So God works through all of that. And so it's, you know, God's people need to be engaged, Pastor Dan. We need to be out in America, especially. We've been given the gift to vote, to run for office, to get involved, to stay engaged, to speak up, to speak out. And if we don't use that gift, shame on us. If millions of Christians stay home because they just don't like the candidates, or they think, well, I got to vote for the lesser of two evils, which we always do. We always do until Jesus comes. But if they do, if they stay home and Hillary goes in and you know, everything just goes down the toilet. I mean, she's going to put liberal Supreme Court justices in that'll go on for their power will go on for decades. Other federal courts, lower federal courts, more than one Supreme Court justice, I'm sure, in the next few years. She'll work hard against the Second Amendment. She'll keep the borders open. She'll keep the Muslim immigration coming. She'll keep attacking the church and Christians. But I'm telling you, brother, we're going to be in for some tough time. And a lot of Christians will have themselves to blame. They can look in the mirror. And so, in answer to your question, yes, God could bless us. He could give us some breathing room if we would call out to him, repent, and get involved and pray and ask for his hand over us. He could use us right up to the return of the Lord. Or we could just go the way of many other empires that turn their back on God, and the Lord just lifts his hand of protection off of us. So, you know, these are some pretty exciting times we're living in. There's a lot riding on all of this, isn't there?
Yeah, well, Carl, I've been saying it, and this is kind of the way that I believe right now. Well, it isn't kind of, it is the way I believe. I believe that right now that, folks, I want you to hear me, not just Carl, but I want you to hear me, folks. We've been given a choice. Now, and we can either choose light or dark. If we repent and we get up and vote, I mean, you know, faith without works is dead, being alone. So you aren't, why you say, well, I prayed about it. Well, you got to do more than pray. Faith is an action word. You got to get up and move. That means vote. But we are given a choice. We can either choose light or choose dark. If you do not do anything, you're choosing darkness. You're allowing darkness to come. So it is on you. There is more of us than there are of them. You just need to stand up and do it. I hear so many times over and over, Carl, well, the Lord told me to get out of the political system and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's why we're where we're at now. We have marriage the way that it is right now because people not being engaged and so on and so forth. Care to address this?
Yeah. No, brother, I agree with you. You're singing my song. We're singing in the same choir. A lot of the reasons we are the way we are. Listen. People say, well, the reasons we are the way we are is because of the sinners, the wickedness. Listen, sinners are doing what sinners are supposed to do. The wicked are doing what wicked have always done. It's God's people. that turn the tide. It's God's people that the Lord hears prayers and answers prayers, or doesn't, because we turn our back on him. That as go God's people and their hearts towards God, goes the nation. And so here we are, 90% of the pastors, the evangelical conservative pastors, admit in poll after poll after poll that they don't address the issues of abortion and evolution and homosexuality and gay marriage and transsexual bathroom orders and Israel and the Middle East and terrorism. They don't address it. They admit it. They don't address it. Well, and that means the pews are not being immersed in the Word of God and educated in how to instill the Word in their life and to make it relevant. And so then what happens? Well, then we start believing the wicked lie of, well, you know, church and state needs to be separated. You Christians need to stay out of politics. And millions of Christians go around saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, okay, yes, sir. And we buy the lie. And we go on about our life, and then we try to make ourselves feel good about it, and we say, well, you know, God told me, and, you know, I'm going to be righteous, and I'm just going to concentrate on, you know, just loving the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, what did Jesus say about obeying his commandments? He said, be the salt, be the light. If you won't be the salt, you're going to be worthless. You're going to get trampled on. If you won't be the light, then darkness will swallow the land. You want to talk about loving Jesus, then obey what he said. Get involved. Look at the gift God has given you. Don't squander it and then blame it on God.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I don't understand, Carl, is how do pastors, and I'm not picking on anybody, and it's just really just a question, how do pastors preach the Bible without touching on all these issues that we're talking about? I just don't get it.
Well, brother, to you and me, and there are others like us, but we're in the vast minority now, to you and me and the others like us, that's a no-brainer. I mean, you know, of course. I mean, that's a good question. How do they? I mean, we don't understand it. But I'm telling you, brother, there's a lot of fluffy preaching that goes on and that just doesn't deal with real life and the issues of the day and what God's Word says about it and what the principles and precepts of God's Word says. There's a lot of preaching about three ways to a better you and five ways to make more money. And if you'll send money to my ministry, God will bless you. And you have two keys to prosperity, and you can have your best life now. And, I mean, that's a lot of preaching's being done that way, brother.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. I never have got the prosperity message, you know, because – you know, what I get from my Bible and from Yeshua is that, you know, they persecuted him, and so we'll be persecuted also. So, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. Well, Carl, tell them where your website's at and what they can find over there, and we'll go to break.
Yeah, thank you. CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Very easy to get to. You'll see the entry page, and there are several links right there that you can get into some things if you want to, including my new book and its website. Or you can, the big red letters, it says Enter Here. Click that, and it takes you to the main page. And from there, you'll see all kinds of slider announcements and articles and links to videos, thousands of videos and teachings and a live Twitter feed from the PNN News and Ministry Network and just all manner of stuff. And that's all at CarlGallops.com. All my books are there. The church I pastor, you can click on the link to that. And that website is just filled with amazing information. So you could spend hours on CarlGallops.com and everywhere else that it leads.
Okay, we got to go, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more from Pastor Carl.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
we're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. You know, we've spent about the last 10 days over there, day and night. I mean, we've been working until like 6 o'clock in the morning, putting a facelift on the Wichita Mission Church. You know, we moved into this building like something like 9 years ago, and we really hadn't had a chance or, you know, really even the money to really do some repainting and some other things that really needed to be done. Well, a brother gave us a donation, you know, made a donation that was a real sacrificial offering. You know, he came into just a little bit of money, and you know, we got the percentage of it and to make this space look possible. But, you know, naturally, as we got started, I don't know how many of you people did facelifts on things that, you know, once you get started, boy, there's just this and that and the other. And so, you know, it really wasn't enough to accomplish everything. In fact, we've stripped the tile floor or the rug off the floor, and we haven't put tile down yet. We're still having to come into tile and some other things. So pray about an offering, you know. Why should you? You know, we help so many people. People come to us for help, and that's because of love, you know. That's the first answer why they come to us. You know, they're treated as family. And second, beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule, you know. People say, well, yeah, I used to get questions from agencies. The agencies don't bother me with this anymore. And neither did, right at first, the police used to ask me, well, can we see your sign-in sheet? You know, we're looking for such and such or whatever. Can you help us with that? Well, we don't have a sign-in sheet, you know. I mean, last time I knew, and I hope it's that way with the church, the rest of the churches out there, but, you know, at a church, you don't have a sign-in sheet. You know, I don't require your name, your phone number, your address, or any of those things to walk in the door. It's God's house. He lets who in the door that he wants in the door. And sure, I talked with people, and I know a lot of them by names. There's some I never know their names. But the point is they come in, and, you know, there's no requirement on them. You know, we have no set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door. They ask for what they need. This is why agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. Can you imagine that? People who have millions of dollars in their budgets send people to a place that really has no budget. They know, as many others do, that we are the last hope for so very many. And folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime. As it's, remember, it's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. Because, you know, this ministry doesn't sell anything. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallant. So if he hasn't ran off and left us yet, are you still with us, Carl?
Oh, brother, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. You're going to have to run me off.
Well, you know, I honestly believe that one.
See?
You know, one thing about radio that has always gotten me, and I'm about to make a video transition, but, you know, when I talk to somebody, when I say, well, are you still there, it's because, you know, I have this little anxiety in me, because I don't see the person, you know, are they still there? You know what I'm saying? But I guess it's one of those faith things, just like we know our Lord's there. I guess I know that better than, you know, the radio guys.
Yeah. Listen, brother, I'm with you. I do a lot of radio, so I can feel your pain.
Yeah. Amen. Well, let me bring this nightmare up, and I would love for you to address it. You know, so you've said that if we allow Hillary in office, and I do believe the word allow kind of proper, but if Hillary becomes in office, I believe all these liberal things will just come to pass because of the Supreme Court justices. And here's one can of worms that I've been noticing. There's been at least two people from different universities that have started to address pedophiles and trying to make out like it's normal. Is that, to me, that seems like that would almost be what would be next on their agenda. Back to
you.
Well,
brother, listen, there is no limit to the agenda of evil. So for people listening to us, and we're starting to talk about this, and there, and some people are saying, "Ah, I don't want to talk about this. That'll never happen." Listen, a decade ago, if Pastor Dan and I had been saying, "Look, America is going to legalize gay marriage with Supreme Court ruling," you would have said, "Ah, that'll never happen." Well, I'm sorry, but it's here. If you would have said, if we would have said 2 years ago, the president is going to issue an order to all the school children in America that if a boy tells his principal he feels more like a girl, that day you have to allow him to use the girl's showers, bathrooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms. You would have said, oh, you guys are out of your mind. But that day's here. It's happening. So the point is, you know, now you're talking about pedophilia. Could that ever be normalized? Could it be kind of swallowed up in this whole sexual perversion of our culture? People are listening saying, well, that will never happen. Well, I'm sorry. I mean, I pray to God it doesn't. And if God's people keep staying asleep and just going on and the preachers aren't bringing it down in the pulpit, it could come. So there's no limit. There's no limit, Pastor Dan. And it could get worse than that. And people might say, well, how can it get worse than that? Well, I'll let you guide that discussion, Pastor Dan. I don't know how vivid and lurid we want to be on this radio show, but it can get worse than that. And you're right. I mean, the way we're going with the radical homosexual agenda, the radical gay marriage agenda, the radical transvestite agenda, enforcing it upon our children. Now, one of the predictions that I made just before the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, I think I said it on your show, I know I said it on a lot of shows, that if the Supreme Court goes with gay marriage, that you can look for the school systems to begin teaching the mechanics of homosexual sex in the classroom to little children, because they're going to teach it as normal and natural, and it'll be a part of sex education. I had people laugh at me and mock me. Well, not only did we go with gay marriage, but this year, school systems all over America are now incorporating classes into the curriculum on how to have proper gay sex, how to have safe homosexual sex, and they're teaching it to little children. And so, brother, it could. I mean, it's aimed at our kids, Pastor Dan. Look at Obama's transgender bathroom order. That's aimed at our children. It's literally possible for your 13-year-old daughter to have just finished with a physical education class and be in the showering, and a 17-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl, who wants to identify more with the girls, has now demanded to shower with your girl, and the schools have to let him do it. I mean, brother, it's aimed at our children, brother. So
I just can't. You know, I sit here and I listen to you, and for the record, you did bring it up on my program. We talked about it several times. I don't know how many times, but the point is this. Listening to that, and, you know, I don't understand. That's so abnormal. Everything that you're saying and what's going on is so abnormal, but we look at the Word, and the Word says it'll be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be as in the days of Noah. And so the Word is coming true before our eyes, but it's just, it's so ludicrous, especially coming from the United States of America. We used to be the country that was the moral equivalent to the nations. You know, we sent out missionaries to everybody. We need missionaries here right now, brother. And as far as how far will it go? Well, you know, I read the news, and it, just in the normal news that you have it coming up about women openly having sex with animals. Where will it go? Well, any evil imagination of your heart would become legalized back to you.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And you know, the imagination of the heart, as what I said, evil has no limit upon what it desires to do and what it will do. And watch this. If the light is not shined and darkness is allowed to prevail. And you know, Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 17, Matthew chapter 24, says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah before he returned. Well, go back and read about the days of Noah. Evil prevailed. Anything man wanted to do, they did. They had turned completely from their knowledge of God, and wickedness was profound over the face of the earth in the entire human population. And Jesus said it's going to be like that again. So, you know, whether we have pockets of protection or places of sanity where sanity still prevails, and we're, I think a lot of it depends, Pastor Dan, upon God's people. Are we going to be the light? Are we going to be the salt? Are we going to shine the light? You know, we sit around and complain about darkness sweeping the land, but we're not turning on the light. So, yeah, I mean, we could be in for some very dark times here in America if God's people don't wake up and if the pulpits don't wake up. On the other hand, we could have a revival, we could awaken, we could repent, we could get involved, we could get engaged, we could speak up, we could speak out, and the Lord may put his, even though the rest of the world is kind of going, you know, down the trail, I mean, he could give us a period of grace and a period of power to be able to shine the light. And that's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm working towards. I'm kind of like Abraham praying over Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there's 50 of us left, would you spare
right.
us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I would.
That was even my own heart earlier when you was talking, was that I was reflecting back to Abraham and thinking, well, Father, you know, if there's just a few of us, you know, but let's go with this. I'll bring up a couple of things and I want you to address them. Folks, you know, a lot of churches use the excuse, well, we're a 501c, and it's not legal for us to speak out, and we don't want to lose our tax today, you know, clearance or whatever. Well, my point is this. Trump is offering two different things that we could get really blessed with. Number one, the way that he is deciding to support Israel with the capital, you know, in Jerusalem and so on. And not only with Israel, but the 501c issue. He said that he would do his utmost best to change that where it would be legal for pastors to speak from their pulpits. So for the pastors that are using that, I'm not saying, trying to blame them as an excuse, but if that is their problem and why they're not speaking out, well, then with Trump being voted in, the pastors would be allowed. At least that's what he says that he would do. Back to you, Carl.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Dan, you've just brought us something near and dear to my heart. As a matter of fact, on CarlGallops.com, once you enter the main site, you'll see the sliders going across. The first one is this letter to the schools on the transgender issue that I've got for parents to use. The second slider says, the truth about 501c3 public charities, can a church be involved in politics? Question mark. And I'm going to tell you, I appreciate what Donald Trump is saying, and there is one little thing that he could tweak that would give tremendous power back to the churches. But let me just say this. Right now, under 501c3 laws, there's a lot of misinformation out there. If people say, well, preachers can't preach, preachers can't come alive, preachers can't speak the truth, preachers can't get involved in politics, churches can't get involved in politics, I say to people, really? Look at Carl Gallup's. I've been in one church for 30 years. I'm on TV, radio, national and international. I'm involved in politics. I support candidates. I give money to candidates. I prayed at the Donald Trump rally. I endorsed him nationally. I was on Fox News endorsing Donald Trump. Well, how can that be? Our church is 501c3. How can that be? We thought it was illegal. It never has been illegal to do that stuff. Listen, I preach from my pulpit on against gay marriage and transgender bathroom orders and evolution and homosexuality and abortion and mistreating Israel. I mean, go down the line. I preach it. I bring it from the Word of God. I show people what God's Word says. I call names in the pulpit as far as who's involved in what and who's doing it. When the transgender bathroom order came out, I said, folks, this came right from the White House. It came right from Obama. It is godless. It is wrong. Here's what the Word of God says, and I preached it. Now, brother, how can that be? Our church is 501c3 because 501c3 prohibits one thing and one thing only. It prohibits me from using my church as a political action committee to endorse or to attack a singular candidate who's running for office. That's it. That's it. That's the only thing it prohibits me from doing. It says in there clearly in 501c3, you can go to the IRS website and it says, this does not prohibit a 501c3 organization from lobbying in issues and in appointments. And then it says, for example, if there is getting ready to be a Senate appointment to a judicial position, we can speak against that or for it in the pulpit. And we can endorse a position. Why? Because it's not an election. It's an appointment. I mean, it says that on the IRS page. The only thing a 501c3 cannot do is to say, all right, folks, we are supporting Pastor Dan for president. I want Pastor Dan in my pulpit, and I want to introduce him to you. We're going to take up a collection for Pastor Dan. We're going to use our church money to support Pastor Dan. We're not supporting anybody else. We're only supporting Pastor Dan. In fact, we will speak against everybody else, and we're going to use our church finances, our tax-free finances, to support Pastor Dan and run him for president. You can't do that if you're 501c3, because now you're using your church as a political action committee for a single candidate. So people really are confused about this, Brother Dan and yeah. Pastor Dan. But now, if Trump changes that, then that'd be really cool. We could run you for president, and Hickory Hammock could help pay for it, brother.
Well, I don't really want to be president, thank you. I have plenty enough to do without thinking
you
it could be that.
Secretary of War.
How about separate? Well, I got lots of other offices I could do. I'd rather put you up for president, Carl, on that line. But back.
We're being funny.
I know that.
Do you have questions you want to ask, or questions you think some of your listeners might want to ask? Because, brother, I'm telling you, I've been living it in front of the world for 30 years. I mean, I know there are other preachers that speak politically like I do. Dr. Jeffress out of Texas, he's 501c3. He's all over the news saying the same things I'm saying. Franklin Graham, Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr., they're 501c3. I mean, look at them. Look at me. There's nothing stopping us. The only thing stopping pulpits and stopping preachers is their misunderstanding of this. Either that, or some of them are nefariously hiding behind it, fooling their people, saying, well, the reason I don't preach on this is because, you know, we're a 501c3. But that's not true. So either they don't know, or they're misleading their people, Brother Dan.
Yeah, I have absolutely heard the excuse, that it was illegal. But, going on for this, I want to talk a little bit about Trump and why I think that, he would bless America. Beyond the fact that the Supreme Court justices, that if we get liberal ones, that's it. Well, I'm with you. It's over with. We're here. It's the worst things that you can think of for Christians anyway. But going on with Trump, I really like his standing on supporting Israel. For the people, why is that so? I know you know, but some people out there don't understand it. Why is it so important that we bless Israel, so to speak?
Yeah, well, of course, you know. Thank you for throwing that softball to me, brother. I'm going to hit a home run here. He goes all the way back to Genesis 12 and the covenant God made with Abraham. And he said, out of you I'm going to bring a great nation that will bless the whole earth. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. Now, I want your folks to hear me. I don't agree with everything that political Israel does or that societal Israel does. They're just as godless as we are in so many ways. The politics and their leaders and even their culture. They've got an open endorsement of homosexuality in their culture. But the bottom line is, here's the bottom line. There's a thing called spiritual Israel that is in the geographical Israel. And that is, God said, in the last days, I'm going to raise up, I'm going to bring my people, but I'm going to bring the Hebrews back from all over the world. I'm going to fly them in on wings of eagles. They're going to return to the land, and it will be a nation in the last days, a mighty nation, and it will be under one king and not two. Because, see, when that word was spoken, Israel was divided, and then it was being conquered by Assyria and Babylon, but it had gone through a civil war right after King Solomon, and it had two. It had Israel with its capital at Samaria and Judah with its capital at Jerusalem. It was under two kings. But now look at it. There it is, back in the land. And guess what? There's only one king, or if you will, one ruler, one president, one prime minister, whatever you want to call it. There's only one king, and the people are back. And there are more people living in Israel right now than there have been at any time in Israel's history, even in its heyday under the monarchy of King David and Solomon. There are 7 million Jews living in Israel now, and there's only 13 million in the world. I mean, it's amazing, and there they are. And we had better, America had better, look at trying to bless them and protect them. That doesn't mean we have to agree with every political decision that comes out of Israel. Or, you know, they make stupid decisions just like we do, and we have to rein them in, and we have to be careful, and we have to cooperate with them. But don't curse them out like this,
right.
This current president did. Curse them and actually is kind of colluding with the enemies of Israel and Iran and those people. Don't do that. You're going to invite God's judgment on you. Do you think I'm somewhere correct in all that, Brother Dan?
Well, absolutely. Look at Katrina. I went over that again. You know, I brought it up a few weeks back, and I had a great response from the people. But that really, I was surprised at how many people didn't realize the breakdown, what happened when the people were kicked out of Gaza. And on a timeline, it was happening exactly the same time. And so do I believe it? Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree. Have you had Bill Koenig on your show, or are you familiar with his book, Eye to Eye, The Consequences of Dividing Israel?
I had Bill on. We were talking, actually, the last time. I don't know if I had him on to talk about that, because I've had him on a couple of times.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The last time I talked to him, we were talking about, you know, his book, The Temple, you know, about where the location of the temple is and everything.
Yeah. Yes, I thought you knew him. No, he's a White House, Washington, D.C. White House correspondent, and he wrote that book, Eye to Eye, The Consequences of Dividing Israel. And that's one of the things he talks about, Katrina, and about 10 or 12 other instances just like that in America's recent history, where every time we have given away land or forced Israel to give away land, or we've kind of attacked Israel publicly with our mouth and with our politics, there's been some kind of huge economic calamity that has happened in our nation within 24 to 48 hours. And, I mean, he documents all this. And, I mean, he's a Washington, D.C. White House press correspondent. He's not a sensationalist. He just documents it and says, you can call it coincidence if you want, but here it is. Here's a list of 20 times when this has happened in the last several decades. So it's pretty astounding.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll have to get a hold of him. I may have him mixed up with another guy, but let's go with this just real quick. To the people out there, you know, when the father said he was going to bring back the nation, he didn't say he was going to save them first. He said he was going to bring them back.
Right.
And technically, they'll get saved when Yeshua returns, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I know people say, well, the Israel, that Israel over there, that's a fake Israel. That's not the real Israel. And I say, well, number one, show me in the Bible where it says there will be a fake Israel in the last days that will confuse the church. There's nothing. There's nothing in the scriptures about a fake Israel in the last days. There is a lot about a literal geographical return of Israel as a sign to the world that God is on his throne and that word is true and that we're close to the return of Yeshua. And that, my friend, has happened only in our lifetime. On the other hand, yes. I mean, the political Israel that's there, that's day-to-day stuff. But if people say, well, the scriptures say that when they come back, they'll all, you know, that they're going to be saved. They're going to be serving the Lord. And they're not serving the Lord, and they're not saved. So therefore, wait a minute. When you look at prophecy is in veins. It's in streams. If you go to Isaiah 53, we say that's about the crucifixion of Jesus. Yeah, but keep reading it. It's about the crucifix, about the coming of Jesus. It's about the ministry of Jesus. Then it's about the crucifixion of Jesus. Then it's about the resurrection of Jesus. Then it's about the second coming of Jesus. All of that is in Isaiah 53. You got to read it through, all the way through.
Right.
And so with these prophecies that talk about Israel coming back, you have to read them the same way. It's in veins. It's in streams. So first they come back to the land. Then they are a witness, and then the Lord returns, and then they are saved, etc. So there's a process to it, Pastor Dan.
Right, absolutely. The biggest solution for most people is they need to read their Bible more. But, Carl, we come to the end of our time. It always goes fast when you're on. So one more time, please give them your website. And I know they can just Google you and find them, but some people like to have it spelled out for them.
Yeah, it's easy. CarlGallups.com. I mean, that's as easy as it gets. CarlGallups. CarlGallups.com. And from there, it's just really easy to navigate and explore, and you could spend hours. They spend days there. I have people call me all the time, say they start clicking the links, and they get engrossed in the videos and the teachings and the articles, and you know, and they're there for days.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Carl, thanks for being on, and we'll talk again. And you're a real brother, so you be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. You too. God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallich. Go over to his website and check him out. You'll find some really interesting things. But really, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We're in a transition. We're trying to do a facelift, and, you know, we need to finish it. So please pray about that. And then we need your normal support so we can feed the people and clothe the people and give them Bibles and give them the gospel and so on and so on. Please pray about that tonight. And if you, like some people, well, they don't want to donate to the homeless and poor. Well, support radio. If you enjoy Carl and my other guest or what I have to say, support us, because we have no way to pay it unless you donate. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the Son. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the word of the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King in the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you would bless the people and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them and be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nobody else could. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.